How did the wise man know that the star that they saw in the east had anything to do with the birth of a savior? Now, in the history books, two, maybe three, but two famous historians who were living, the writings are still available now, even in bookstores today, wrote shortly the century before our Lord's birth, and told about that in the Mideast there was common gossip that a savior was to be born in the Mideast, mm-hmm. the great redeemer, the coming mm-hmm. one. Mm-hmm. And this is before Jesus' birth, that there was knowledge, but they didn't know the uh-huh. exact time, but uh-huh. that they were in expectancy. Uh-huh. And it does say in the New Testament that all men were in expectation yeah. of him. So we try to go now just a little bit as to how this might have come about. Uh-huh. One would be about Balaam's prophecy. Uh-huh. Balaam, remember, who was told to prophesy against Israel? The king asked Balaam to come and pronounce a curse on Israel, but instead of pronouncing a curse, he pronounced a blessing, and he uttered a prophecy that instead of a curse coming out of his mouth, the Lord made a blessing come out, and there was nothing he could do about it. Well, we'd like to see about that, and that's here. Take the 15th verse. Sister Esther, you read for a while now. 15th verse.
And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said which heard the words of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now.
But not nine, yes. Mm-hmm.
There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter mm-hmm. shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheph. And Edom shall be a possession, Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do battle. Yes. Out of Jacob shall come mm-hmm. he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up this parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he looked up on the Canaanites, and took up this parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, now puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenites shall be wasted, until Asher shall carry thee away captive. And he took up his parable and said, alas, who shall live when God doeth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Shittim, and shall afflict Asher, and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place. And Balak also went to his way.
Now, this king, Balak, knew that this man had a reputation of being a man of God, a priest of God. And he was not an Israelite, this man. But he lived in the Arabian desert. And the king sent messages to a long distance to get this man to come to him, and he wanted him, he felt that he had a power, a secret power, that he could put a hex on the Jewish nation. Balaam was the prophet,
yeah.
But Balak sent the messengers for him to come and pronounce this, and of course he refused it. And anyway, he much as said, if you give me the whole world full of silver, I'm just using it as a
yeah, yeah.
I can't do whatever the Lord says. What that I will say, whatever the Lord tells me. But finally, what happened, he did ultimately come. I don't want to go through the whole story about the ass that spoke the angel that was in his way, you know, Anna, the, but when he got on the top of this hill, now this would be now in Transjordan, on the other side of the Dead Sea, there was a big high mountain range in the land of Moab, and Israel was in the valley below, making a circuitous route to go into the Holy Land under Moses. They had to, instead of going in direct from the south, when the Lord said, go up and enter and I'll give you the land, but they didn't go. Remember, the spies brought back a bad report, and they were afraid to. Then what happened, a little while later, they got the courage because they won some battles. They thought, well, they could do it. But Moses said, no, if you go now, the Lord won't be with you. In fact, you'll be defeated. They ignored Moses, and they tried to go in, and they were defeated. So then the Lord showed that they would all die in the wilderness, except Joshua and Caleb. And that then, when they had perished out of the way, then he would lead in the next generation, their children, into the promised land. But they had to go make a big, long, circuitous route around.
Yes,
and while they were on that lower valley desert floor, going around this mountain, Balaam and Balak were on the top of a hill, looking down. And he thought that from this position of prominence, he could put a hex on the nation. But when he gets up there, instead of a curse coming out, it comes a blessing. So he's saying that he acknowledges that God had dealt with him in his past life. Notice what he says here. He puts himself, he's talking about himself as though he's another person. So he's talking, but he's talking using the, like, I, Frank Shalhoub. He said, I, Balaam. See, he's using, he says, he took up his power and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are opened. In other words, the Lord gave him a miraculous vision. And he took up this parable, and he says, he heard in this vision, even like it were, the God speaking. He, see, 16th verse, he heard the words of God, and he knew the knowledge of the Most High. This is information. And he has this vision, and he falls into a trance, but his eyes are still open. He's still perceptive, but he can't move. He can only drink in or hear and see. And in the account, it's prophesied that the Messiah, the governor, would come, but not in his day. He would not see him at that time. But there would come a time that this promised one would come, and it wouldn't be there in that area that the coming would be. It would be in Jacob's, in Palestine, not in Moab. And then he tells that this star would rise out of Jacob and out of Israel, see. He's identifying it in Palestine. And that this governor or Messiah would punish Moab, and this is the very king who wanted him to pronounce the curse. See, it's a related.
Balak is
Moab. Balak is related to Moab, and the Amalekites and all were confederate together, and they were all opposed to Israel. And he pronounces this that Edom, Moab, and Amalek, which was the greatest of all nations in great antiquity, would become subservient to Israel. And they would perish as an international power. It doesn't mean that all the individuals would die, but that they would no longer be a powerful country, and that their downfall would be. And that out of Jacob, the 19th verse, out of Jacob would come he that would have this dominion, and that would destroy him that remains of the city. And then when he looked on Amalek, he said, in this part, so he addresses different parts of the country. Like he looks in this direction, where the Amalekites, which were the northern part of Moab. See, Moab was divided in two. Amalek took the northern half, and Moab retained the southern part. And the Amalekites went all the way up to Jordan. They occupied them. So he's looking in this direction, then he looks in this direction, but then when he looks on Israel, he pronounces a blessing, but when he looks on the others, he pronounces a curse. And it's just the other way around. They wanted him to pronounce the blessing, if anything, on them, and the curse on Israel. He reversed the whole procedure. Well, anyway, this prophecy was written down, because here it's recorded in this book, in Numbers, to posterity, and this was done in Moses' day, that there would come. Now, Daniel's prophecy was
that from the going forth of the commandment to build the city of Jerusalem would be 70 weeks, and that in the midst of the last week would Messiah the Prince stand up and so forth, and that the great deliverer of prophecy would arise within a certain period. And now Daniel was in this area. He was in two places. He was in Shushan the palace, which is Saudi Arabia. And that's where this prophet Balaam came from. Notice in an earlier chapter, when he first calls him, 22nd chapter, 4th verse, Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are around us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. This is Balak. And he sent messengers therefore to Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pathor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there's a people come up out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth. Come now, I pray thee, curse me this people. And this is how he sent in the far country. Well, in the account, there's a clue that it was a considerable distance that he had gone. Well, Balaam and Job, I forget who else, were well known as prophets in the Saudi Arabia, that part of the country. Take the Muslim today, the Mohammedans. They recognize the Mohammedans, Abraham, but in a little different way. They recognize even Moses and Joseph, but they don't recognize Jesus, as in the sense of his being Messiah, just another prophet. So they are familiar with certain books of the Bible, which they will accept with a few reservations. Like in Isaac, shall I see, they have it in Ishmael, would it be the blessing, that was lost. They interpreted that blessing was lost. But in any event, there's a familiarity. And so this prophecy of a star rising out of Jacob, they took literally. That when the time would come that this one would have dominion, that there would be a star that would presage or be a precursor to his coming, meaning come beforehand, and make them aware of the fact of the impending Messiah. So then the wise men said, we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. This is what the wise men said in the New Testament. But they didn't know the city. They knew it would be in the land of Israel, because it says a star shall rise out of Jacob, and that this governor out of the land of Israel. But they didn't know the particular city. And then they asked Herod, where's the city? We've come, we've seen his star, we know that he is born. Where is he that is born? Not his coming now. They had made a long trip. They knew now that he would be already born. And now they're asking the king. And he didn't know. But he was concerned. This is a rival now. Yeah. He's the king and he doesn't want a rival. So he makes believe that he's really interested for that he could worship also. Then he asks his counselors, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? Well, being Hebrews and all, he said, why, it says in the prophecy, thou Bethlehem Ephratah, out of thee shall come forth he that is to be the governor of my people. And so they quoted the prophecy that it would be Bethlehem. And then the king comes back and tells them that the prophecy indicated would be in Bethlehem. And now when you find him, whatever particular house he is, what I want you to do is promise me that when you find him, that you let me know so that I can come and worship him also. And then they were going to do that. They complied, yes, and they went. But then there was a vision. They got a vision saying, don't do it and go back another way. All right. Now, the next thing in the Old Testament about Moses. In Exodus, the very first part, first chapter. The first chapter tells that the king of Egypt was concerned because the male children were multiplying so fast that they would outnumber the Egyptians, and if something weren't done about it, instead of the Israelites being servants, they would be the servants. And so the king, following the advice of his counselors, issued a decree that all male children were to be slain. Well, this is what Herod did. He issued a decree that all the children, male children, in Bethlehem, 2 years and under, should be slain. Then there was the prophecy that Rachel was heard warning her children. That's a prophecy about those. Now, but there's something here that's of interest. We go to the next chapter. And we read there about the parents of Moses. A man of the house of Levi took to wife a daughter of Levi.
Read the second chapter?
Second chapter, first verse. And a woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him from an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime, so, and put it in the river by the flag. And then we know that what happened. She found the...
Yes.
Now here it shows that the babe was born, they hid him for a while, and after 3 months in this case, she put him in this ark and left him to God's providence. And what happened? He was saved. Well, what happened with Jesus, when he was born a babe in Bethlehem, in a manger. But when the wise men came, he was in a house, not in the manger. It was at a later date. So when the wise men came to give their gifts to Jesus, he was not the newborn infant. He was a baby. But there was a time period there. And it was true, whereas he that is born, he was born before that. And they saw the star indicating his birth. And then Herod said, when did you see that star? What time did it appear? So, and they told him, and he calculated, Herod, that if they saw the star at such and such a month, that if the Savior was born that month, he would now be of a certain age. But he wanted to be sure, so he said, kill all children 2 years and under. In other words, he probably didn't know, but it might be up to 1 year. But when you're going out to do slaughter a child, how do you know it's 1 year old or 2 years old? And when you're doing it with all this commotion to play safe, he would like double the age just to be sure that there'd be no possibility of him escaping, the baby escaping. So here we got the prediction of a star. Daniel prophesied in this far, in both in Babylon, he prophesied with the Magi. Daniel was chief of the magicians. He was made by the king of Babylon, chief of physicians, and they had to do with astrology. And Daniel was the one that talked about the 70 weeks. So putting it all together, they were looking for him, and they had the time period right, and they're looking, but they don't know what day. And all of a sudden, that there comes this appearance of a star. And they say, this is the star that we've been looking for, an unusual sight, and then they went. Second chapter of Exodus showed that when the child was 3 months old, now the child could have been 3 months old, it could have been 6 months old, I feel it was less than 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
How old, I don't know. If this were an exact parallel,
how old
it would be 3 months. If it were an exact parallel, because of everything he says, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up from among your brethren like unto me. And Jesus was like unto Moses. An edict of death was issued, that children be slain. There was an edict of death with Jesus when he was born.
But you didn't mention that because it's a parallel. You're making a
comparison.
Yeah,
well, that's this what I'm now trying to do. It takes a little time. So what we're saying is that the wise men and the shepherds were two different time periods. All the artists, sometimes they'll even have the wise men and the shepherds in the same picture.
Yeah.
That the shepherds left the fields where they lay, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Well, the shepherds did go and did see the child that day that he was born, but not the wise men. The wise men were far, far away in their homeland when Jesus was born. He had already been born. So there would be a minimum, to my thinking, of 3 months here. And if it's an exact parallel, he would have been 3 months old when they would see him, and they fled. So the child was put in an ark and hid in the bulrushes, and the Lord overruled and took charge of that babe and took him into his custody and put it even in Pharaoh's own house. In this other case with Jesus, the wise men came and gave him the money and the incense and gold and so forth, which they used, the parents, and they fled. See, there was fear, fleeing for safety. Yeah. All this is involved with the both, not exactly the same, but like unto. There was a similarity of experience. with regard to Jesus' birth and Moses' birth.
Yeah, it was very intricate, the way everything comes.
Yes, it is intricate. It's like everything is timed.
Yeah. I'm surprised that all the other natives, they had the Bible too. They must have been reading, but they did not understand, and they did not follow.
Yeah. Well, you see, many of these books that we read were compiled at different dates. Now, this one of Numbers that we read, it wasn't recorded until when Moses came along. That's when that prophecy was issued. And also Moses indicated about a lion shall come out of the tribe of Judah. See? He also told a prophecy of Jacob, told about, thou Bethlehem Ephratah, thou thee would come this governor. See, that's also a prophecy of the Old Testament. But they're written at different periods. And then Daniel writes about the 70 weeks of years. In other words, in 490 years. Mm-hmm. Now, say you were living and you understood this prophecy 490 years, that it would be, well, you say, well, that's centuries after I'll be dead and buried. Right. But there would be people aware of that prophecy who would live on and on. And then as it neared the completion of that time, they'd know, well, it's about now. We don't know exactly when it began because the records back there are not like us. Mm-hmm.
No,
all we have to do is go down the newsstand or write into the Library of Congress. We can get information. There they couldn't. The ordinary person who wasn't available, but they wouldn't know. So I feel that what had happened is that they knew it would be about that time. Mm-hmm. And actually, that prophecy pertained to his baptism at Jordan. The 70 weeks of Daniel, it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, until Messiah, the Prince, shall be 69 weeks. Unto Messiah, the Prince, would be 69 weeks, and in the midst of the 70th week, Messiah, the Prince, would be cut off out of the land of the living. Well, they know that 69 weeks, 69 times 7 is so many hundred years, and they would know. But they wouldn't know whether Messiah, the Prince, meant his baptism, or they would think of it as birth, that this Savior would be born about that time. Well, some might wait too long, because if they actually waited until the end of those 69 weeks when he would appear at Jordan, they wouldn't be aware of the birth. But what happened? They know it's about this time, it's in our day, and all of a sudden an unusual star appears, a light in the heaven. And those who are thinking along this line in advance of other people, they'd be aware of this and put it together. This is it. This is the same thing. And Daniel was the chief of the magicians. You could read that in Daniel.
When they were wandering in the desert that time for 40 years, would they have gone into the promised land if they hadn't disobeyed the Lord?
Yeah.
That was the only
way? No, early. In the beginning they could have, but not after.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Even. I see. And Moses was also punished.
Yeah, but that's a picture.
Yeah.
Because in the New Testament it says Moses was faithful in all his house.
In all his house,
But he wasn't a perfect man.
No, naturally.
So the recording of that mistake of striking the rock is merely that the Lord wanted to use this mistake or his character as a lesson and a type, but not meaning that he himself was to be. That this was a reflection on him, really. Because he will live to see that day. Now, in Daniel, the second chapter, which you had read, in the second chapter, the 48th verse, then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. And what do we call the ones who went to see Jesus in Bethlehem? They were called the wise men. So here we have Daniel, chief of the wise men in that area. See, what I'm doing, I'm just tying it together. That's why they were knowledgeable. They were knowledgeable of what Daniel was telling them, and they're also knowledgeable about Balaam's prophecy. He'd be like one of their own prophets. Daniel would be a Hebrew captive who was high up in the government, and if he had these miraculous visions, they would listen to him. what he would say, because if he's talking about some future thing, that the great Messiah or the prince would come, but that he would have to go to sleep. Shut up, seal up the vision. You've come to the end of your course. This is the last chapter. And you're going to go to sleep now, but it'll come to pass. It'll be sure. It'll be secured, but at the latter days. In the latter days, this will, what you have prophesied and written about, will come to pass. Now we go to the New Testament.
It's Luke, second chapter. Oh.
All right. Keep your hand, though, in Matthew 2.
8 verse.
Second chapter. All right, what you read then, there?
And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
All right. Now, the sign to them was that it's at nighttime, they're in the field, and they say that a Savior has already been born.
Mm-hmm.
Today there was a birth in the city of Bethlehem, this predicted Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you want to know where he is? He didn't tell what house to go to. The angels didn't say, go down to street so-and-so, number so-and-so, such-and-such a street, or direct them specifically. The Lord does this sometimes. That when he wants to give information, he doesn't always spell it out so that, you know, you just go and it's, oh, he lets you do a little digging first.
Yeah.
And so what happens, they go out and now they're going all over, looking in all the, by going this house and that place, they're trying to find where he is. Now the clue is, it says, this shall be assigned to you. You'll know whether you're in the right place. Two clues. Now either of these clues separated wouldn't be a special sign, because whenever a baby is born, almost all cases they always did put the swaddling clothes on.
Yeah.
Because that would be custom, because all the mucus life of the baby,
yeah,
slime that when it would come out of the mother's womb, mm-hmm, they put this salt and the clothing, they salt the baby.
Yeah.
Yes, salt.
Yeah.
That's one way to kind of, to dry up the, like, the, yeah, mucus, even, yeah, okay? And then they put the swaddling clothes on, and that would serve several things. It would keep the baby warm and secure from, mm-hmm, any drafts.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when they would take that off, it would be like it would wipe off the whole gookum about the,
yeah,
body.
Yeah.
And then, mm-hmm, a day or two later, you wouldn't have that type of clothing on.
Oh.
Now, what it would indicate, if you look at a baby, you wouldn't know the difference if it was one day old or 1 week old. I mean, how do you know whether it was born that day or 7 days?
Mm.
But with the swaddling clothes on,
yeah,
which were used for,
yeah,
this purpose, that would indicate a child that's just born.
Mm.
And the angel said that was one clue. But the meaning that for unto you is born this day a Savior. So they were to look for a child born that day, but there might have been other children,
mm-hmm,
born that day in Bethlehem. There might have been two or three births.
Oh, yeah.
But they would look for an additional clue. A child born that day, wrapped in the swaddle, but in a manger. See, lying in a manger.
In the
yeah, city. So they have the two things. And what happened is that this manger, they found in inquiring around, they would have to search quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that would intensify. They would be quite excited about this. Where is he? And they would stir up quite a bit of commotion. Because of their excitement to know. Because say you were one of them and you saw the heavens at night lit up.
Mm.
And you saw a tremendous host, angelic host, all singing about unto you is born this day a Savior. Well, you knew, you could tell one another. I mean, it wasn't you alone that had a dream or something. If there's say 4 or 5 of you, did you see what I see? Did you hear what I hear? Well, certainly all heard it. And they heard it so that they would then go with conviction. They had seen this and heard this, and then they're searching. It would give an intensity to their search, and then they would ultimately find him under these circumstances, and that would be the sign. then that was the one that would be the future Redeemer of Israel, and would be great tidings of great joy, ultimately, to all people. Mm-hmm. Because there was no room for them in the inn.
Mm-hmm.
And then, later, you'll notice that what happened, that there came next the eighth day, 21st verse, when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. So she named him Jesus because of the fact that in the vision she was told to give this name to the child, remember? In Matthew 1:21, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And the reason given is because he shall save his people from their sins. And the word Jesus means Savior. Joshua, Jesus is Joshua.
Yeah.
And means that he would be the deliverer. Now in the account here, it says that while he thought on these things, that is Joseph, the husband of Mary, that the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in the dream. See? Mm. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take to thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she thou shalt call his name. Joseph was to do the name. And then we come to where the shepherds were, and notice the second chapter of Luke, the 11th verse. It says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, while the other was Joshua or Jesus, he shall save his people from their sin. But here's another name, which is Christ the Lord. So here you have the word Jesus, and you have Christ, and that's why we put them together, Jesus Christ. Jesus, because the angel told Joseph to call the name of the child Jesus. He didn't say Jesus Christ.
No.
Called, thou shalt call his name Jesus, which name was given to him. But the vision to the shepherds was that you will find Christ, the Lord. He's been born today. So they didn't know him as Jesus. They knew him as the Messiah. The Messiah was born. So when you put the two accounts together, you have Jesus Christ, Jesus the Anointed. It's identifying that the Messiah was Jesus. It's another way of saying by putting them together. Now, of age, the bar mitzvah, then it jumps to John the Baptist, when Jesus was about 30 years of age. Where in Matthew, it goes into more detail along other lines, where it tells about the wise men and the flight to Egypt. See, when you come to Matthew,
they were coming to the houses.
Yeah. Now when Jesus, so we know that the decree to slay all the babes in Jerusalem did not occur those first 8 days, because when he was circumcised, where was it that Jesus was taken?
Into the temple.
Yeah, and where is that? And where was Jesus before he was in Jerusalem? Bethlehem. So they had to make a trip. He's born, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And then they make a long journey, it's about 9 miles by road, to the temple, so that on the eighth day he could be circumcised. Well, you can be sure they're not going to arrive on the eighth day. They're going to be there, make sure they're there on time. So it was only a matter of a few days from his being in the cave, born in the manger, in the stones, and then he goes to Jerusalem, and then he comes back to Bethlehem, but he doesn't go to the cave again. Now they find lodging in the house. And in this account of Matthew, it says that when the wise men came, this is much later. Where is he that is born? It's not when he was born, the day that the shepherds, and it wasn't when he was circumcised. It was later he returned to Bethlehem and was living there a while as a little baby, a little infant. Then comes the wise men and say, where is he born, and so forth. And then they found the child. And so it's as though the Lord wanted to go back to Bethlehem in order to get the money, the car fare, to go to Egypt.
Jesus got all these lovely gifts and money, and that was what kept them so they could
live there. They could live there about 6 years. They probably lived in Egypt about 6 years.
Probably what kept them there.
Yes, Oh, yes, because they were not people of means. He was just a carpenter.
Yeah.
And he was out of town. When he went to Bethlehem to be taxed, the city, they wanted a decree from Augustus Caesar to be taxed. And they had to go to the city of David where he was born, Joseph. The husband of Mary had to go to Bethlehem because to be taxed. And it was while he was going down there that Mary, being pregnant, gave forth a child while in Bethlehem. But then they went and had the child circumcised, but instead of going back to Nazareth, he goes back to Bethlehem. And one reason is that he would be there while the three wise men would come. There's no prediction of a prophet being in Nazareth. So has a prophet ever risen out of Nazareth? Well, none had previously, and there was no prediction in the Bible that he would be born in Nazareth. The prediction of the Bible was that he'd be born in Bethlehem. Mm. So when Herod gave the information to the wise men that Bethlehem would be where he'd be born, the wise men going there would then meet the parents, give them the money, which in turn they used when they went to Egypt. Because he was going to a foreign country, and to start up business and a trade there would be kind of unlikely. But if he had all this wealth given to him, it would tide him over until Herod died, because that was the thing. And Moses was in the wilderness 40 years until the king died. Because when the angel appeared to Moses at the burning bush, he told him, I've selected you, and you're going to lead my people out of Egypt to this very mountain. And don't worry, because all the people that were against you, your enemy, when you were in Egypt, the king and others who were your enemy are all dead. They're all dead. So he went back. Well, when the child was taken to Egypt, the same thing happened, that when Herod died, Herod Antipater, that the angel appeared to Joseph and said, now you can go back to Israel because he's dead. The king is dead. So you have a parallelism related to Jesus' early boyhood, infancy.
In other words, when Jesus was born, Mary was all alone, and Joseph was his own child.
Well, he might not have been in the house, because it says she laid him in.
Mm-hmm.
She laid him in the manger and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Yeah. Normally, a midwife would do that.
Yeah.
Or even the husband, if he was there when she gave birth, would take the child out and see that it would be in the manger. But the mother, there is an indication of that possibility.
It reminded me, I have a Christmas card in Hagmar in Athens, where Mary is sitting with the babe outside of the city.
See, it's my thought that she probably was alone.
Because she had to be cast in Nazareth.